The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Thanks so much for joining me on Build Your Tribe. Today is Quick Tip Tuesday, and today I'm going to share with you the reasons why it is so imperative that you negotiate friggin' everything. Negotiating is one of the most powerful tools and important skills that you can master as an entrepreneur. Now, if you are a subscriber to Build Your Tribe, well, first of all, that means you're really cool. It means you're also really smart. And it also means that you're in luck because you're listening to this the day the episode comes out, which also happens to be the day that my son, Brock and I, Brock is obviously the co-host to Build Your Tribe. On this day, we are starting a free 5-day training to teach you how to create a side hustle. Now, you likely already have a side hustle. It's probably why you're listening to Build Your Tribe. You already have a business. But in today's day and age, if we've learned anything, it's that nothing is certain. And one stream of income is, frankly, quite risky. So why not develop an additional side hustle? We're going to go through the top 10, maybe even top 15 ways that you can make money, like legitimate ways. I mean, there's lots of like ways you're like, okay, wait, who's doing these online reviews or, you know, crazy things that take too much money to get started, like flipping houses? Like, I mean, that's awesome. But we want to give you the ways that you can create additional income in less than 3 days. And that's what we're going to do. And so I'd like to invite you to join us by going to shalene.com/hustle. If you've caught this episode and it's after the Tuesday that it first came out, and it doesn't hurt to go to that domain name anyways and just see if you can join. You can always catch up on the videos that you've missed. You've got a couple of days notice. And if you're way past the date, I mean, let this be a lesson. You need to hit that subscribe button on the podcast. I mean, like, hello, duh. That's the only way you're going to never miss an episode. And if you see the title of an episode that you're not into it, just skip it. I mean, there's so many podcasts I subscribe to, and sometimes I look at the title, I'm like, nah, not into it. But I don't unsubscribe because I don't want to miss that episode that could make $1 million difference in my business. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about negotiating. First of all, for whatever reason, many people fear negotiating. They fear asking for more money. They fear that people will assume that they're demanding. They fear that the answer is going to be no. They fear rejection. They fear confrontation. Is that you? Like, do you avoid negotiating because you're like, well, I don't want to be a jerk, or I don't want to be seen that way, or I don't want to have an uncomfortable conversation? Well, y'all, I hate to tell you this, but if you want to be really good in business, you've got to learn to understand the value of your money, the value of your time. And that means you have to care enough to learn the skill of negotiating. And frankly, almost everything is negotiable, whether we're talking about a car, the rate for an agency, the price you're going to pay a consultant, the amount that you're going to demand as the consultant, the amount that you're going to pay a freelancer, or the amount that you would like to be paid as a freelancer. You can negotiate rates with your clients. You can negotiate speaking opportunities. You can obviously negotiate the price of your house, your next salary offer, or the project design that you need for your website. Like, whatever it is, you can negotiate this. Very few prices are actually set in stone. But before you begin the negotiating process, I want to recommend that you do this first. Do your homework. When it comes to negotiations, knowledge is power, and empathy is power's best friend. One of the best books that I have ever read on negotiating, man, this is going to be controversial, but for the record, this is not a political statement. This is a book that I read at least 10 years ago. And it's called The Art of the Deal. And it is by, yes, Donald Trump. I'm telling you, it is such a good book. It is such a good book. And regardless of what your politics are, you can't deny the fact that the guy is pretty persuasive when it comes to negotiating, right? I mean, okay, we're going to be done talking about that. The second best book, in fact, I might even say it's better than that book, is a book by Chris Voss, V-O-S-S, and the book is called Never Split the Difference. It is an exceptional audiobook. This book, Never Split the Difference, has helped me to negotiate like crazy things like better parking spots, a better price on high ticket clothing items, a better seat on the airline. Like, it's crazy the things, and it's fun. Like, after listening to that book, I didn't think of negotiations as something that was painful and uncomfortable. I thought of it as like a really fun experiment in human behavior and human psychology. And that's really what negotiating is about. All right. So step number one is, when do you negotiate? You should negotiate when the price doesn't feel fair. Let me give you an example. Recently, I did a photo shoot with a gal from LA, and I called her up and asked her how much the photo shoot was. And it was in, well, I'm going to tell you, it was in the between the 5 to 7K range. And that felt high, but based on her work, based on the other things that I've seen in her referrals, etc., I was like, okay, I'm going to pay it. I spent a lot of money on that photo shoot. 1 month later, a friend of mine was like, please, I'm begging you to use my photographer. She's amazing. And her photos were outstanding. She's super reasonable and she's great to shoot with, blah, blah, blah. So I decided to give her a call and set up a time to shoot with her. And I did. Her rate was so low. I actually negotiated up with her because what she was asking for the amount of time that we were going to do this photo shoot didn't seem fair. I didn't feel good about paying her that small of a rate, even just based on her time. Even though I hadn't shot with her, I'd seen her portfolio and I'd heard the rave reviews from her. So the price that she was asking just didn't seem fair. So I actually paid her more. And I personally believe that's what negotiations should feel like. Both parties should walk away feeling like they both got a great deal. Both sides should feel satisfied. That's my advice on when to negotiate. If you're accepting an offer that feels like you're kind of getting screwed, then you need to negotiate. If you're paying a price where you're like, this isn't great, and that's the price, and they just tell you that's what it is, but it doesn't feel fair, then negotiate. Don't negotiate just to negotiate. I don't like that. That's my personal opinion. But if it doesn't feel right, if you don't feel good about it, if it doesn't feel like you're going to be getting your value's worth, well, then yeah, negotiate. That's step one in evaluating when you should negotiate. Then I suggest that when it comes to negotiating, begin by doing your homework. I mean, coming from a used car sales background, I can tell you that it's really important when somebody walked in and they knew their stuff. They knew what a car's retail value was, what its wholesale value was, and its trade-in value. If I walk in to buy a vehicle and I have that information in hand, the salesperson knows immediately that I have as much information as they do. And they likely know I can get more money someplace else, perhaps. Or I might be able to find a better deal if it's a car that I'm buying. Start by educating yourself. Do your due diligence. Whatever it is that you're looking to buy or invest in, what's the going rate for something of similar quality? Whether it's a house, a course, a service, a speaking opportunity, a job offer. But don't forget to factor in what makes this deal special for you. And that is, in most cases, it's you. In his book, Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss, I think it's the second chapter, really details the importance and the power that comes from becoming a mirror to the person whom you're negotiating with. And by that, he means like you have to start by like really listening, using the words that they use, like acknowledging that they want to be seen, they want to be understood, and they want to be right. So like that's the first step, is like really listening, really having empathy, and really becoming aligned with the person that you're negotiating with. Like if you go into a negotiation like it's me versus them, you are likely going to feel a lot of tension. It's going to be a contentious or even confrontational experience, and it doesn't need to be. Your negotiation should start not at the place where you'd like to end up, but if you're negotiating on price, you want to go lower than where it is you want to end up, because then you're giving them room to feel like they are getting a win. Like, so let's say, for example, you're negotiating to work with a client as a consultant, and the client says to you, all right, what's your rate? Hypothetically, you explain to them that your rate is a $5,000 a month retainer. However, you also know for the opportunity to work with this particular client, you would be willing to do it for $3,000 a month. You hold that in your back pocket because there's a very good chance they're going to come back at you and say, well, that's too much. That gives you room to bring down your price, and you could say, well, how about $4,000, right? Then they can come back and say, well, $4,000 feels pretty high. How about $3,500? Now you're $500 higher than where you wanted to be, and they feel really good about the fact that they have negotiated you down, they think, from $5,000. You know, it's a really interesting dance. I hear people saying like all the time, like, we saved $2,000 or we saved blah, blah, blah. Well, perhaps, but it's also very likely that what you were doing is dealing with someone who's really smart in business, who actually has room to bring a price down or up and therefore create a win for both parties. So if I'm willing to do the job for $3,000 and you're super happy about negotiating this big savings in your mind, but I'm still getting $500 more per month than what I was willing to accept, can you see how that's a win-win? Everything is negotiable. All prices are negotiable. Let me restate that. 99.9% of the times when you're told that a price is not negotiable, 99.9% of the time you are speaking to someone who's not the ultimate decision maker. More often than not, you're speaking to a gatekeeper, an employee, a representative, a member of the team, but you're not actually talking to the decision maker. So my suggestion to you is, keep asking to speak to the person who makes that decision, but you want to do so in such a way that's not offensive to the person who you're working with. And a simple way to do that is to say, I so appreciate this opportunity. I wondered, however, if I might be able to speak with someone who would be able to hear my reasoning for negotiating this price. You have made it perfectly clear to me, but I wondered if there's somebody else I might be able to speak with. Don't say the classic words, let me speak to the manager, because you're just going to make that person angry and they're likely going to tell you, hey, the buck stops here. Either that or they're going to get in the ear of the person who is the decision maker and say, this guy's a jerk or this gal's a jerk. In other words, put in a bad word for you before the negotiation even starts. So it's all about being likable, being on the same side of the person who you're negotiating with, letting them know what's in it for them, and most importantly, listening so that they feel heard, so that they understand how it benefits them. Nobody cares how it benefits you. They need to understand how it can benefit them. All right, that's it for this Quick Tip Tuesday. Don't forget to join our Side Hustle Challenge. You can do so by going to shalene.com/hustle. Brock and I have a great time doing it together. You will finally see us both together. We have a really good time, quite entertaining, if I do say so myself. I hope to see you there. And that's it. It is my goal to be brief, to be bright, to make it fun and be done. Yep, we're done.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.